and the Lord.
Why does he do that? Because he ultimately deserves and wants the glory of what we are doing for him. And that's why in verse 6 he says, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." The Lord could have told Saul right then and there. But his desire, the Lord's desire, is to work through his people in order that his lordship is magnified and glorified.
And it took 3 days for Saul. So he got, okay, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Go to the city." Well, as you said, he didn't say, okay, and then Ananias will come and he will put his hand. He didn't give him the whole detail. You see, we all like to have, well, what's going to happen in the next 20 years for me? So I just want to know it all, then everything is okay. The Lord said, no, I am going to give you 1 minute at a time, because you have to trust me. So what Saul did is, they led him by the hand. Now these hands are not free anymore to do what it, this hand was, get a hold of somebody else's hand, and like a little baby now. When you cross the street, if you have a little kid, he holds on your hand. The older one will just run on their own. They can do it. So Saul now, knowing that he has to go to the straight pathway, he's not used to that. He's used to the crooked one. Now, to go to the straight pathway, you have to walk with the Lord. So you hold the Lord, or the Lord holds your hand. Right now, you are like a child. You're holding on the Lord's hand and said, "Lord, okay, you take the lead now." Saul is not taking the lead anymore. He's being led. He's not taking the lead anymore. He's holding on the Lord's hand, and the Lord's saying, "Okay, one step at a time, I'm going to show you the way." And it's a wonderful experience now when you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, generally speaking. He was holding on the Lord's hand. Well, it wasn't all easy. The straight road was not easy all the way. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Read what that man have gone through. But he was holding on the Lord's hand. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? He got hold of the Lord's hand, or the Lord got hold of Peter's hand. And you don't let go. You let the Lord hold your hand, and you don't let go every step of the way. He's not going to tell you what's going to happen 20 years from now, but he's going to tell you what's happened every step of the way. And it's a wonderful thing to experience the fiery furnace, even when you are walking with the Son of God.
When you speak of the lordship of Christ, verse 16 is a very interesting verse, because Paul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said to Ananias, "You take him, because I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake." And yesterday we returned to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that points out real persecution, what it really means when one stands for the Lord and surrenders to his lordship. And I think we have to all ask ourselves, have we really surrendered? See, Paul, I believe when Paul in these 3 days was led about, he was led as a broken man, a man who had come to the end of himself. And Paul, when he was finished with this period of time, Paul was ready to be prepared for service. And Brother Chuck mentioned that God took him for some years and prepared him and fitted him with everything that was necessary, because he was to bear the name of the one who was a reproach before the Gentiles, before kings. You read the life of Paul before Festus, before Felix. He said, "Paul, much learning has made you mad." This man was completely different. And he says that he was going to also bear his name before Israel. Israel had said, "This is not the king for us." And on account of this, he was to suffer many things. Maybe one of the reasons why the assemblies, our own lives, are not as vibrant as they should be, is that we shrink when we think of the many things, the great things, that we would have to suffer because we associate ourselves with the man of Nazareth. Mm. And it's a challenge for your heart and my heart as we move through this scene. It is not an easy thing, young people. It is unpopular You're in a world that has set Christ aside. And when you bear the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, I was listening to, there was a football player that passed away a couple of days ago, Reggie White. And he was a man who was highly skilled at his profession. But after his retirement, he went and he made some comments before the legislature in Wisconsin, standing up, as it were, for some principles in Scripture. Well, you know, this man who was the favorite of many people in Wisconsin, who was revered by many, who would even, they called him the Reverend. Well, they wanted to put a noose around his neck. You know why? Mm. Because he said, God says that these things are an abomination. Mm. When you stand for Christ in your school, in your workplace, and you talk about alternate lifestyles, and you say this thing is sinful, it's an abomination. When you talk about drugs and alcohol and profanity, do you think that your teachers, your friends are going to run and rally and pat you on the back? You will suffer great things for the Lord's name's sake. But this is where surrender comes in. And it's something that is learned. It's not flipping a light switch. We all are learning this as we grow day by day. What it means to surrender to His Lordship and to be able to stand in a world by which He has been rejected. Because that is part of the key to being a servant. And we're going to serve His interests, but we have to be able to stand and to bear His name as well.
I want to speak just a little bit about the Master. Remember when we had the pound? This third man said, I know you. And his knowledge of our Lord, whether it was the pound or the talent, we both would say was entirely false. He had an idea of the Lord that was entirely different than the idea that the first two men had. Now I want you to think just a minute of this man Ananias and put ourselves in the position that Ananias was in. He had heard. It was common knowledge about Saul of Tarsus. Everybody knew what he had been doing. Now, it's one thing to sit in the quietness of this Bible study today and talk about this, and it would have been another thing quite different to have been in that city where Saul of Tarsus was and to have known that this was a man, in fact, that put the noose around the necks of Christians. And the Lord comes and says, you go, find that man. And I want to speak about verse 15. The Lord knoweth our frame. He knows the fears, the difficulties that we have along the way. So He does not say, the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Period. He doesn't stop there. But the Lord sets the heart of Ananias at rest as to these circumstances. The Lord says to Ananias, Ananias, I am in control. You can go. Ananias, I know what you've heard about this man. I know what he's done. I know his past. But Ananias, I want you to realize something. This man is a chosen vessel unto me. How do you think he felt? How do you think Ananias felt after he hears the Lord say that to him? He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I say, what a wonderful Lord we have. What a wonderful thing to take His servant that was afraid and to set his mind at ease and say to him again, Ananias, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I'm in control of everything. Do you think we should move on to Philip?
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody has any more comments on Paul. In Paul, what we have seen is the complete subjection to the Lordship of Christ. Now you have a person, and later on you read this is like how he was used. But the point that we wanted to stress this morning by the help of the Lord is that if the Lord is going to use you, you have to learn how to be led. You have to learn how to pray. You have to learn to ask the question, Lord, what do you have me to do? That is what we want to leave with you in connection with Paul.